Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
I mean, that was by far his most incoherent.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Pick segment. I mean, he
that was yeah.
Hopefully, it gets better than that, but it's going to be tough. As he just goes,
that man's 70-something years old. He's not going to get better than that.
Well, I'm talking about. No, my point is, hopefully, the audio gets worse than that. I guess, you know, but I think that might be his crown jewel.
Are you hoping he can top that?
Yeah, and I probably can't.
We hope you twop that. Okay, yeah.
Somebody got to lose or win,
right? Somebody got to lose or win, right?
Yeah.
You hear that?
You see that? 855-212-4CBS. It is time for your college football phone calls with Brian Jones. But first, before we get to the lines, we will get to him immediately. I promise you. Brian Jones has a message for his Twitter haters via the LSU Auburn game.
Right. A great win by LSU. I think all of us across the board picked Auburn to win this ball game, where they've been rolling on offense since that loss to Clemson, and defensively they've been playing extremely well. LSU eke out a win on the road in the swamp, get a missed extra point by Florida. So they've got a little momentum. They played with more passion a week ago. And then they come out the other day and they get behind the eight ball. What, they down 23-0?
I was feeling great about my pick,
yeah,
boy.
I'm sure you were. I was feeling great about my pick as well. And then LSU comes out of the locker room, a totally different team. A great job by their defense. Dave Aranda's guys gave up about 139 on the ground in the first half, only about 51 in the second half. So they shut down that running game of Auburn, and they wanted to put the onus on Jared Stidham. And Stidham, I can't put this on him. I put it on Chip Lindsey, their OC. Every pass he threw was down. It was a bomb. See, like, it was a bomb. They were throwing, going for the big shot each and every time. Where are the intermediate routes? Why don't you try to hit a back out of the backfield? Everything seemed to be 20, 30 yards down the field, and they were not connecting. I think the guy was Stidham was about 2 for 12 in passing in the second half. He couldn't hit anything. And so a great job by that defense. And we said that in addition to saying, and this is during our post-game show on College Football Today, said, in addition to that, I think it was the third down play, the last series for Auburn, clearly there was a helmet-to-helmet hit. Now, I get excoriated a year ago talking about keeping your head on the swivel when it was Alabama and Texas A&M.
Excoriation.
And you see an Alabama player hit a returner for Texas A&M. Nothing's called. Clearly clocks him. Damn good hit. Skull and crossbone for that young, at least back in the day. Now you get an interception and an A&M player hits the Alabama player square in the face, and that's targeting. So I don't know what the hell targeting is my point. And you get Stidham hit face mask to face mask. Nothing's called. And so we mentioned that in addition to what I just said.
And people are all over
and
you.
And people
are,
oh, you have terrible, terrible post-game show. You're talking about the non-targeting call instead of the great effort by LSU. We mentioned the great effort by LSU.
Yeah, these people, they hear what they want to hear.
They hear exactly what they want to hear. Selective hearing is what we call it.
They're emboldened by the win, and they want to go after you because nobody picked them when they probably felt like they weren't going to win the
Thank
game
you.
Either. 855-212-4CBS. It's time now for Brian Jones open phones. 855-212-4227. Sheila in Alabama kicks us off. What's happening, Sheila? Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, Sheila.
Hey, I just wanted to call and give you guys a big old roll of tide.
Big old roll of tide?
Yeah.
Wow, Sheila.
Well, cool.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be feeling pretty good about yourselves now, especially when people were saying that Clemson was a better team, and then they lose to Syracuse Friday night. I mean, you're the undisputed best team in the country.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, I took to Twitter, and I was like, you know what? Happy Friday the 13th, Dabo.
Sheila. Sheila's one of those people. She's one of those people that gets on you on Twitter.
She's trolling folks.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're allowed,
You better look out for Tennessee. Big rivalry week. If I can spit it out.
Yeah, really?
No, I'm joking. Trust me, I'm joking.
Yeah, no, not the least bit worried.
All right, Sheila, and you shouldn't be. So thanks.
Yeah,
for
but
the
don't take anyone lightly.
Well, they
don't
won't.
Don't take the rat poison.
Well, Sheila can take them lightly. The team
right.
cannot. Sheila can feel the way that she wants to feel, and she will. Friday the 13th, Dabo. I love that. How great
and Dabo
is that?
Dabo then flies to Tuscaloosa because they're commemorating the 92 national championship team there at Alabama. So I'm sure that was a trip he didn't want to make after losing.
Jay is in Palacios, Texas on CBS Sports Radio.
Palacios!
What's happening, Jay? Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
Brian, if you had to pick your four playoff teams as of right now, who would they be?
Wow. He got those deep voice like a boy Kevin in
pretty
Youngstown.
Good. Pretty good.
Hey, by the way, Palacios, home of Oscar Giles, my former teammate at UT and current defensive line coach at UT. Alabama, Penn State,
Georgia,
and guess you got to go Wisconsin. They're undefeated.
Yeah, but the Big Ten's still wide open, really. You got so many games left to be played.
Right. You know what?
I guess you're probably right. If, you know, if you had to pick them now, that'd be pretty good.
I'd probably put TCU. I'd probably go TCU or Wisconsin at four. TCU's schedule a little bit more taxing
beefy
than Wisconsin
at
this point. But, I'd probably opt for TCU instead of Wisconsin.
Well, I think it'll definitely be TCU that's going to be the consensus as the week goes on, just because you haven't heard a lot of Wisconsin as that team on the outside looking in. You've seen TCU on that 5-6 line with most people now for several weeks, and I could easily see that.
And they knocked off two ranked teams.
Yeah.
They go to Oklahoma State and beat them, and West Virginia came to their house, and they knocked them off a week ago. So I would probably have TCU ahead of Wisconsin as we sit here right now.
Couple open lines for you. Grab one at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Your unique opportunity to talk to one of the experts in this great country of ours about college football. Not everybody gets this opportunity. You get it right now on Geo and Jones. James is in Tucson on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, James?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning? Brian, I got a question for you about the new rankings that came out yesterday. Oklahoma ranked number 9, Ohio State ranked number 6. We beat them. What's going on? Do we have a chance to get back in that playoff picture as well?
Yeah, you're talking about Oklahoma? Yeah, I think they do. And unfortunately for my Longhorns, you can't spot your rival 20 points, and you claw your way back. You get the lead at 24-23. Excellent showing by Ellinger once again. Defense, I don't know what the hell's happening. They're going the wrong direction, leaving wide receivers wide open. And I'm talking about my Longhorns here, James. But Baker Mayfield is the man, especially when they're wide ass open, as Andrews, a tight end, was that last touchdown pass he threw. But I thought maybe he'd hurt his shoulder, and I think he did hurt it, but he came back in and threw some darts and helped lead them to a victory. I think what's going on here is you had Ohio State lose to a ranked Oklahoma team. You have Oklahoma lose at home to an unranked Iowa State football team. That's why they're ahead of you currently. And, you know, that don't work itself out, but it has to be the fact that Oklahoma lost to Iowa State.
Yeah, that's an easy one. You can't look at head-to-heads in that situation. And what you look at is you look at 2 1-loss teams and what that one loss is. And one loss is one where it was two behemoths going up against one another. Another one was a huge upset
We got embarrassed at home in a game that there's you had no business losing.
Yeah, and you were up like 24-3 in that ball game.
I mean, that was like a Disney movie, what happened in that Iowa State game. So, I mean, that's basically what the deal is there.
But Oklahoma's still wide open. Just like Clemson ran the table a year ago, got into the college football playoff, Oklahoma has done it, and they could do it again. We'll see. TCU, though, right now is sitting there undefeated. I believe TCU goes to Oklahoma this year.
855-212-4-CBS. Tim is in California on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Tim?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great, Tim. What do you got for us?
All right, so I have a quick question for you guys. I'm a Notre Dame fan, so I'm a bit on the homer side. But I feel like the only loss they have is to a very good Georgia team, 1-point loss. And supposedly there were many opportunities for us to be able to win that game. Now, I kind of look at that almost as like a win. So what is your guys' take on Notre Dame? And
I'll say this. If they run the table, it's going to be very hard to keep them out. It's funny when you look at the loss as a win.
Tim, come on, man.
If it was a win, you'd be in great shape right now. But, I mean, is it crazy to say that if Notre Dame runs the table with who they have on their schedule left?
NC State, Miami, and USC, and Stanford.
Right.
And Stanford waxed
but
Oregon.
At Stanford. The rest, right. I think, are home games.
Yeah, and if they win, they win out, they're in. Notre Dame is in this bad boy if they win out with that remaining schedule. And Navy. I mean, Navy's on there as well.
Right.
So that's five quality wins if they get W's in those ball games.
Those
so,
are big ifs, though. Especially, I mean, going to Stanford, that's going to be
tough.
So why? You calling running the table right now, Tim?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, thank you.
I look at that as a win,
as that, right?
Even though we lost.
Yeah, I mean, come
only,
on.
Even though we had 55 yards rushing and every other game over 200 yards rushing, that's a win. No, it's not. It's an L, man. Deal with it.
Yeah, well, I do think if you're a Notre Dame fan, where you came from with the Brian Kelly press conference and the one possession loss stuff and all of the swirling rumors to hear where this is even a discussion is pretty damn good.
I agree.
Is really damn good. And that Georgia team, I mean, all that does is bolster their resume the more that they look great. I mean, Jake Fromm is one of my favorite players in college football now because he keeps getting better every week, too. You could see him maturing almost every snap.
And he doesn't have to do a lot. With that running game, he doesn't have to do a lot. I mean, he threw some great balls the other day, but usually, was he right around 12, 15 attempts per game. At some point, they're going to some team will knock that running game out of the equation, and it'll be all about him.
How annoyed were you with the Oklahoma loss?
Very.
Texas lost to Oklahoma,
Because of the defense. I thought they'd fix what they screwed up on last week versus K-State, but once again, wide receivers wide-ass open. What the heck is going on? That makes no sense. And the last touchdown they give up, it's a simple little route by the tight end. The dude is the biggest cat out there. How do you lose sight of him? Now, I've been out there on the field where you've had busts and you didn't communicate well, but this has happened now 2 weeks in a row. You're supposed to fix that, and now you're in the fourth quarter of this ball game. You've seen pretty much all their formations. How the hell you not find that receiver? How do you not find that tight end? Wide open. There were so many plays there. When they watch that film, it's going to be pitiful, and they're going to have a horrible feeling in their stomach because they gave that damn game away.
855-212-4CBS. Dan's in Albany, New York on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Dan? Good morning.
Good morning to you guys.
How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing all right. Headed into work here this morning and watching the game on Saturday, Clemson against Syracuse. big upset. Brian, what are your thoughts on the whole upset?
Felt like Saturday because
they played him again on Saturday.
Actually, that one didn't go into midnight or anything like that, I don't believe, like these Pac-12 games do. I just thought it was an excellent showing by Dino Babers' team. They came to play, and they were fired up. The fans were fired up, and you get in that small, intimate environment, and you allow Syracuse to get on top early and build some momentum. That's what can happen. And you do everything that's required to ensure you lose, like penalties. I think they just had one turnover, but the penalties hurt Clemson as well. And their defense, I expected them to be ferocious. But you look at Dungy and how well he played at quarterback. This kid was lights out, using his feet and Ishmael. How many penalties on that young man for pushing off, and still they weren't able to corral him when they needed to, this receiver for Syracuse. He had, I don't know if I've seen another receiver with so many PIs called on him than him the other night, but yet he still made some big, huge plays for that offense.
Yeah, the biggest shocker to me was the Clemson defense. I mean, it doesn't matter where you play or who you're playing. I mean, they have showed that they're going to be the best unit on the field, and they just weren't on Friday night. All right, coming up next, Chiefs and Steelers yesterday, an unbelievable finish. It was a little bit of a rough start to that game. It was a tough one, but then ends up being a classic by the end. 855-212-4CBS if you want to join us. Plenty more NFL and college football to talk about. Randy Cross in 45 minutes. Keep it right here.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Website for the college radio station from Hofstra. I don't know why he would be doing this, but he was. So he goes to me, he goes, "Hey, come over here." And I looked, and the radio station at Hofstra, which I didn't work for, is claiming that I did work there.
Hmm.
And on top of that, they've got my name spelled completely wrong and my job wrong.
What's your job
title? Well, I'm still in Pittsburgh, apparently, after 3 years. And my last name is just totally butchered.
So they're like Wikipedia.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, apparently if they type you into Wikipedia, my picture comes up. I've seen people tweet me that.
Yeah. Mr. Giannotti has a degree from Hofstra.
Yeah.
So I did not. I made the conscious decision not to work at their radio station because I believed that that was going to hold me back as opposed to going to getting an internship at a real radio station. That's what I did, and it worked out. So should I make a stink about this or just leave it the way it is? Just leave it the way it is? Or just
It's incorrect, though. You never worked at the radio station.
Right.
And if you had worked at the radio station, at least call them up and say, "Spell my name correctly, please."
Or should I let it go because nobody's seeing this but Pete Bellotti?
Hofstra.
You know? I mean, nobody's really seeing it. What does it matter, really? I mean, there's two ways to look at it. It's like one, it's like insulting, and the other thing, it's like it doesn't matter. So
it's insulting to be associated with their
radio
station?
No, it's insulting that they don't do enough. Like, they're claiming me when I wasn't even there, and then even putting my real credentials up
false
there.
False advertising.
Yeah, once did you step foot into that radio station.
I never worked there, no.
Wow.
I mean, they played... I won an award for like a long form feature piece that they played on the radio station because all the radio students did a thing, but I never worked there, never once, never stepped. I couldn't even tell you where it was.
You did a feature for the radio station?
No, I did a feature for my class that was submitted by the teacher to be a part of the whole school thing, and then they ended up playing it on the radio station.
Just correct the record and say, "Hey, you didn't work at the radio station, but he is a graduate from Hofstra." Just do that.
Yeah, but how about getting my job right and my name right? I mean, the job, okay, fine. They did it a couple of years ago, didn't update it, whatever. But you can't even spell my name right.
Spell Hofstra.
Well, I found it.
You have to go correct that.
It's just pathetic.
Is it a picture of me?
No. It's a picture of Pete.
I mean, it's just pathetic. I mean, you pay to go to school there. My name is on all the class transcripts, whatever. It's on the spelled on the diploma correctly. You can't even find it in your system to spell it right?
Yeah, I think you should reach out and touch them.
Apparently it's an issue altogether because my friend Keith Irizarry, who you can see on Tops during their fantasy segment, there's no mention of that or any of his other current work. This is like 5 years old.
They spell his name right?
I think so. I can't tell you. No, there might be a Z missing in Irizarry, actually.
You know what? I am going to make a stink out of this. You want to know why? Because you do damn commencement speeches at your alma mater, and I can't even get my name spelled right.
Nope.
This is nonsense. You're up there in a cap and gown talking to Joel Osteen, and I'm still working in Pittsburgh.
I'm surprised they haven't co-opted Katie Nolan for this as well, since she's
media
another Hofstra.
Oh, really?
She's not on there either?
No, they respect her disdain for them. Because her name, unless they're not spelling Nolan the traditional way.
She doesn't like her alma mater either?
No, she might. Greg doesn't.
He doesn't like any damn thing.
That's not true.
It is true.
I like a lot of things.
So, Fordham, do they have your name spelled correct?
They do.
Yeah.
They do, and they have my up-to-date information.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, maybe they're waiting for you or one of your representatives to reach out to them and update the information.
Yeah,
G.
Okay. Come on.
No?
If they're going to go as far as to claim me at a place I never worked, at least, I mean, you should be able to do it right.
Mm.
And honestly.
Which...
Now, should they lose their accreditation for doing this? Because if it was reversed, it, say like George O'Leary and others who have claimed to have
Fair.
Degrees from
yeah,
I mean, certain...
It's a good question.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it'll go that far, but it's a good question.
You know what I can do? I can call the woman who helped us with Tiffany Gate and see if she can get me an answer on this.
Yeah. There was one guy there at Hofstra I really liked. Did a nice job as a professor. Really good.
One professor.
Did a really, well, there was another guy, but he taught Spanish. I'm talking about the communications people.
Yeah.
But one guy really, really taught me a lot of stuff. But then the rest of them, no. And their internship coordinator was one of the nastiest people I'd ever met in my life.
You are funny.
I'm serious.
I liked a lot of my former professors. Man, UCLA, Dr. Fairchild, Texas.
Oh, Dr. Fairchild.
Dr. Green, I believe he's at the University of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Green.
Dr. Barony, Zoltan Barony.
Zoltan.
Yeah.
Don't mess with the Zoltan.
Guys. My guy from the English department. Oh, what's his name?
Freddie.
He's outstanding.
Freddie Dinkmeyer.
No, what Freddie.
Florence Jones, William Jones, Devontae Jones, Michelle Nash, and Sina Jones. Thank you for being here with us
just like
and to share this moment.
Damn, Michelle Nash messing up the party.
Michelle Nash.
Man. God, I can see his face. I can't even call his name. But that's interesting that you don't like any of yours but one.
Yeah. It's well, I mean, it's not the same type of place, you know. It's a different
Why
type
not?
Of
sure it is.
Here it's a much bigger deal. You know, they pay people well.
Fordham, you liked all your profs?
They were okay.
They were okay.
Yeah.
All right.
There was one guy who just gave me an A.
What?
Just for the hell of it.
Just gave it to you?
Yeah, I'm serious. I never showed up to class. I never did any work. I told him, I was like, listen, this class is, I need this class, but it's in conflict with the part-time work I'm doing at WFAN. That's way more important to me than this. He's like, okay, no problem.
You never went to class?
Never once. Yeah.
I'm turning you guys in.
Maybe I shouldn't say never once. Probably. I probably missed about 20 classes.
Oh.
Yeah. Just didn't turn in full assignments.
What?
Yeah, he gave me an A-.
What's wrong with you?
Were you an athlete?
No.
No?
He was like, yeah, go ahead. He's like, go take those shifts. More important than being here. He's like, you already know this stuff. It was good. I actually thought that was a good job out of him. Believe it or not.
Of course you did.
No, but it's not like I wasn't showing up for any reason. I was showing up because I had like a steady part-time shift.
Still have to show up.
But it was like...
I had a steady part-time shift, football.
You'll learn more there than you will here.
That's true.
That's what college should be more like that.
Real life experience.
Just sit here and learn a bunch of this bull crap.
Well, you have to learn that. That's your foundation. Then you get out in the real world and you learn how it's really done. That's just a part of the process.
Yeah, Professor Pete, you know what I'm talking about.
As a professor, I would consider that.
Yeah.
Real life experience, I think, weighs in on your college career.
Thank you, Professor Pete.
He's kissing up right
Thank
now.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bring the kids in here.
Yeah, that's true. Bring them in here. They learn a hell of a lot. Out of control and out of control host. That would be
the first lesson.
Bring
their hands over here.
Yeah,
please.
Right.
Incredibly.
How to deal with a psychopath who was also the host of the radio show. All right, Bogish has an update for us. What's going on, man?
Guys, Eli Manning was throwing to luminaries like Roger Lewis, Tavares King, and Jarrell Adams behind his sieve of an offensive line against the number one defense in the NFL, and somehow the Giants won in Denver on Sunday Night Football 23-10. As Von Miller will tell you... Sorry, this is Von.
There really aren't any scrubs that make it on the grass on Sunday. So they had put together a great game plan, and you know, we lost.
And the Giants won for the first time this year. Manning threw a touchdown pass to rookie tight end Evan Engram, while Broncos QB Trevor Siemian threw a touchdown pass to Giants corner Janoris Jenkins. Jason Pierre-Paul sacked Siemian three times. The Packers say Aaron Rodgers could miss the rest of the season with a broken right collarbone. Rodgers taken down by linebacker Anthony Barr in the first quarter of what became a 23-10 loss in Minnesota. Brett Hundley threw three picks in relief.
I've been preparing for this moment for a long time now, so... you know, obviously we didn't get the job done today, but we'll be better.
Bucks QB Jameis Winston will have an MRI this week. X-rays on his right shoulder were negative. Ryan Fitzpatrick almost rallied the Bucks in Arizona. They lost 38-33 after trailing 31-0 in the third quarter. Far from the field, Colin Kaepernick is filing a collusion grievance against the league and owners. He's doing so through the CBA, but with his own lawyer. The Players Association says it did not know this was coming, but will support Kaepernick. He reportedly wants, at least in part, to terminate that CBA, which can happen if owners are found guilty of collusion. Cubs manager Joe Maddon didn't use closer Wade Davis with Game 2 of the NLCS tied at 1 in the ninth last night. Instead, John Lackey served up Justin Turner's game-ending homer after walking Chris Taylor. Here's Maddon.
Once that walk occurred, then you know, all bets are off against Turner. Everybody, nobody's a really great matchup against Turner.
Maddon went on to say he was saving Davis for a save opportunity. Turner got LA a 4-1 win in a 2-0 series lead on the 29th anniversary of Kirk Gibson's one-legged walk-off against the A's in the World Series. Game 3 tomorrow night at Wrigley. The Astros and Yankees play Game 3 of the ALCS tonight in the Bronx. Houston leads 2-0 and starts the dulcet tones of Charlie Morton against C.C. Sabathia. On ice last night, the Buffalo Sabres got win number 1 for new head coach Phil Housley, 3-1 in Anaheim after an 0-5 start. And finally, Brad Keselowski won at Talladega to clinch his spot in the third round.
Yeah, I'm really getting into NASCAR these days.
I don't know how you
Keselowski, man.
Yeah,
Keselowski.
Yeah, I've been getting into
Talladega?
It.
How do you say that? The place?
Keselowski.
No, the place.
It's been Talladega. Great lately. Oh, okay. Just something about it, you know?
You can have it.
Like real American
and
stuff happening there, you know?
Right? Of course,
it's like
yeah.
a down-home kind of
there
patriotism.
Is.
Like
there
everyone's
is.
On the same team.
Yep. It's great.
Just about the racing.
Everybody mm-hmm. stands. Everybody sits down.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. a beautiful display is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you say Tavares King, I laugh because one of the Key and Peele football names was Tavariousness King.
I've never understood paid attention before, but did you watch the Bronco defensive introductions last night on NBC?
I missed it, no.
Because Aqib Talib said his name, maybe how he always says it, but it sounded like he was doing Key and Peele.
Really?
Because he was like, Aqib Talib. Like, he was just, it was like, overly sore. I'm like, could he possibly be doing that?
No.
Was that just how he talked? I have no idea, but it was, I laughed.
No, I didn't see it. Tavariousness King. Oh, my goodness. Tyrol Smoochie Wallace. This doesn't get any better than that. All right. Speaking of the broadcast last night on NBC, how about Al Michaels? What are you doing? He makes a Harvey Weinstein joke. Now,
yeah.
James Corden was at an event. He is the guy who does the CBS show after Colbert, the Late Late Show, whatever it is. So he was at an event, and he did like Weinstein joke after Weinstein joke, and someone recorded it and put it up there, and he was bombing with those at an event. And that's a comedian, you know? And I am a believer that, like, a comedian can get away with stuff that someone else who's doing a national football broadcast can't.
Yeah.
And even James Corden couldn't get away with it with his Harvey Weinstein jokes at this event he was emceeing. And here goes Al Michaels thinking that he could do a Weinstein joke on NBC. It was just, it was terrible. I mean, it basically said something along the lines of the Giants had a worse week than Harvey Weinstein did last week, and here they are leading the game. And he had to come back. He did apologize. He didn't say what he apologized for, but it was funny because Chris Collinsworth was like, okay, great, just move on. That's what he said. We can't play the audio, unfortunately.
Oh, man. Yeah, way too soon, dog. Really?
Way too soon. Is there any time to do a Weinstein joke?
No.
Like, probably not.
No.
It's
what
just
a predator.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't. You can't do it. I guess maybe, like, people feel more comfortable doing it because there's no deaths, but it's still... I just don't know why it's like so much. You don't hear these other tragedies that we've seen happen, like people joking about them like that. I mean, maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe they want to hit back at him in a way. It just was bad. It was like when I heard it, it was one of those like shocking, like jaw dropping. Like, what?
Did he just say that?
No. On Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Like, not like, you know. Colbert or Kimmel or Fallon. Even then, it would be like, ooh. I mean, on Sunday Night Football, he's dusting off his Weinstein material.
Yeah, and it just takes away from the excellent victory by the Giants because no one thought that they could roll into Denver Mile High and win that ball game. I know I didn't. What was the spread? Was it like 11 or 12?
Yeah.
And they, I mean, you're talking about getting the ball out of Eli's hand quickly. 1-2, boom. Snap, 1-2, boom. He was like, nope, I am not waiting for Von Miller to get back here and introduce himself to me. He did get to him. But that was an excellent offensive, excellent play calling because they leaned on the run. They forced the run. We're going to run the ball. I don't give a damn if we get negative 2 yards each time we try to run. We're going to run the ball. And they kept forcing the issue. And, of course, Ben McAdoo, he turns over play calling to Mike Sullivan, his OC. And there was a different little feel to the offense, not just quickly getting the ball out of the hands of Eli Manning, but just saying, hey, come hell or high water, we're running the rock. We have to.
Well, you have to against the Broncos.
And defensively, man, that's the defense we thought we'd see week one. And they finally surfaced, even without DRC out there, Eli Apple getting the start. They looked great.
Yeah, they did. And on Friday night, a friend of mine's in a knockout pool. There's $9,000 $9,000 in cash on the line, right? There's seven people left. He's one of the seven people, right? I'm there with him. He goes, man, you know what? He's like, I got to go with Denver in a knockout pool. And I was like, whoa. It's like, who was it? You got Houston left? I was like, I'd feel better about Houston at home against the Browns. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. He's like, yeah. He's like, I know. But, I mean, there's just no way with all those injuries they're going to go up there and win. So then the bartender comes over. The guy's running a knockout pool. He goes, what you got? And my friend goes, Broncos. And I said, I don't know, man. I don't know. I like the Texans better. And the guy, the bartender, goes, no way. No way. They're terrible. You got to go Broncos.
Terrible.
I just sat there and quiet. Next thing you know, Giants knock off the Broncos. Oh, it's a tough one. Oh, it's a rough one. I feel bad for my friend. He could smell that cash. He could smell that.
Well, this season is you never know what you're going to get. Did you think the Jets were going a 3-game winning streak? Of course we did. Did you think the Giants would be sitting here 0-5? Of course we did. You just don't know. There's so much parity in the league, and I don't know who that elite team is right now. We discuss whether or not it's the Eagles, the offense with Tom Brady, they look like they're rounding into shape.
We thought it might have been the Chiefs, and they take their first loss, and we haven't gotten to that yet. Mm-hmm. So we'll break, and we'll get to it next, and what ended up being a really entertaining game. We're coming right back.
This is Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You went there yesterday.
Huh? I did.
How are they doing?
Everybody's great.
Yeah,
doing good. Well. Hoya and I had good fight.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, good.
You're still doing that, huh?
She scratched the hell out of me.
Still
though.
Doing that fighting the dog.
Got to wrestle with the dog. Who doesn't wrestle with their dog? You don't wrestle with your dog?
I mean, I play with the dog, but like full blown.
Oh, she
wrestling.
Won. She won yesterday.
Oh, did
bitch?
You? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, man, I got to bite her and she bites.
Carmen Peralta, the mother-in-law, doing well.
Cook some. Good food, yeah.
Good.
Rice
good.
And beans.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. It was
good. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
So, Chiefs and Steelers. Man, I tell you, that Steelers defense.
Dirty!
Came to
Mike
play.
Mitchell, you dirty.
Yesterday. Well, there is something about that, though.
Mm-hmm.
If you look. So, Mike Mitchell, I am not a fan of Mike Mitchell.
Really?
I'm not a fan of his. I think he's...
Former Carolina Panther?
Yeah, he's a little bit... He's just a little bit out of control. But... Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
First off, the defense plays great.
Yes.
This chief offense does not get going, and I think it's because of the Steeler defense was playing great. Kareem Hunt couldn't do a damn thing until the second half. Alex Smith did not look like the player that he was. I know that when you're looking at the Chiefs and their offensive weapons, it's basically Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, and Travis Kelce, who was in concussion protocol and then came right back and. Like immediately was fine. So you have those three guys. If those guys aren't going, then you got nothing on offense, and they just look terrible. And here are the Steelers. It should have blown them out because Ben's playing great. Antonio Brown's playing great. Le'Veon Bell is he is vintage Bell doing his patient running. They should have blown him out, but they couldn't really get to that step where they could do that. And then Andy Reid early in the fourth quarter. Their dad's 12-3. Kicked the damn field goal to make it 12-6.
Right.
And he didn't do that. And he said after the game, he went with his gut. Andy! I mean, in that spot.
How long did it take you to go with it?
I mean, you haven't done a damn thing on offense all day. You make it a one-score game. I don't know if you win the game or not, but that's a no-brainer.
Take the points. I'm with you. And that wouldn't think that would be one of those seminal moments or one of those situations where you had to do a lot of deliberating. Take the points.
Yeah.
You've been struggling to get on the board all afternoon.
Yeah, and my wife, who knows nothing about sports, likes the Steelers, even she was questioning this. This is the same person who on Saturday asked me if the Yankees had one more series before they went to the Stanley Cup.
No, she did
yes,
not.
She did.
She did not.
Yes, she did.
Oh, wow.
So,
Miss Gina, that's all right. Ain't your fault.
Yes.
Ain't your fault, Miss Gina.
She goes, who are they playing? The Houstons? And I said, the Houstons? What are the Houstons?
The Houstons.
She's like, is this the last series before the Stanley Cup?
Whoa.
I was like, oh, man. She just doesn't know anything about sports.
That's all right. That's
which is a good thing. I actually like that.
Yeah.
But even she was questioning Andy Reid. She loves football. So she was into that. And, just a
Why
bad decision.
Why didn't he hit the puck in the net?
Yeah,
why won't he put the puck in the net?
They're on the damn power play here. What's wrong with them? And then Antonio Brown, I mean, on this touchdown catch where the ball goes off the defender's face mask and then he's just there. And then part luck, part unbelievable skill, I think, in that situation.
Eye-hand coordination.
Oh, and if you see, there's a slow-mo replay of him where his eyes, you could just see his eyes focused on the defender and then go to the football. He grabs it and he's able to run for a touchdown. I mean, and I saw a lot of tweets from my former Pittsburgh colleagues that were saying, this is why people put up with his bullcrap.
Yeah, because you got to focus on a safety coming over the top to clock you, and now you're trying to catch the carom of the ball, and you are able to do all of that and then turn around and burst through or up the field for a touchdown.
Yeah, and how about James Harrison, who they pull out of mothballs, who hadn't even dressed in a couple of games.
Wow.
He comes out, his uniform is clean, and he goes and sacks Alex Smith in the fourth quarter on a key third down and fourth down. I mean, just unbelievable. And him and Mike Tomlin were just, you know, into it after the game. He was so fired up, Tomlin. I mean, that was a great win for the Steelers. All the drama that they had.
Right.
All the drama they had. What a great win to go in there and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chiefs just have a tough time with the Steelers, man. They just have a tough time with them. Very similar to the matchup that they had last year. It's one of those thorns in their side.
Now, didn't they play them twice last year in the playoffs? They lost to the Steelers. Did they beat them during the regular season, or they lost that one there in Pittsburgh?
I think they might have.
I think they beat the Steelers in the regular season.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Lost.
I think they might have beat them bad, too, if I remember correctly. But I'm probably going to be dead wrong on that.
Yeah, but you're right. That was an interesting matchup. Alex Smith did not have the time, did not enjoy the time that he has had in the previous five ball games. They couldn't get that offense going. Just a great effort by the defense of Pittsburgh.
Well, the Steelers did win that game, and it was a blowout. So
in the regular season,
at least I was right about that.
Yeah.
I knew it was a blowout. And then the playoff game was it was like the same game.
Yesterday was
the playoff game.
Yeah, and you're right. Every now and then, there's just that one team that has your number, and you're not able to get over. So I hope we see this matchup again, though. Even though the Steelers have owned the Kansas City Chiefs, I'd love to see it again and see what type of adjustments the Kansas City Chiefs can make. And I'm sure they've been trying to do all of that, and they felt like with all the firepower they now possess, that it'd be a different outcome, but more of the same.
All right, so on to the Mike Mitchell dirty hit. So when I first saw it, I said, man, this guy is just the worst. So basically, you know, Alex Smith is running with the football, throws on the run, and here comes Mike Mitchell, the safety, from behind, like two, three seconds after he lets go of the ball, and then dives right into Alex Smith's knees. Now, after the game, when Mitchell was asked about this, he said, I was pushed in the back by Steelers linebacker Anthony Ciccolo, who was in for that particular play. So I look at it more close, and there is, you can see Ciccolo push Mike Mitchell. You can see it. However, I think that he used that push, knew exactly where he was to go and do that. So I'm not saying that he wasn't pushed, but I'm saying that he conveniently used that push to be dirty. That's my final verdict, and you can take it as you see it. So
yeah, I think that's a bunch of bull doogie.
He did get pushed, though.
Ciccolo.
He did.
Blame it on Ciccolo, man. You can't blame it on Ciccolo.
Ciccolo did push him.
Ciccolo did not push him. I'm going to watch the video again because I've seen it.
No, he did push him.
All right.
He pushed him on the shoulder pad. He did. But
he didn't push him hard enough to thrust him into Alex Smith.
Well, you just heard what I said.
What are you yelling at me for?
Because you said Chick-fil-A, it was Chick-fil-A's fault.
I did
not. That's what I heard you say.
No, you got to listen for once.
No.
Listen, I said that Chick-fil-A did push him, but he used that conveniently to roll into the back of Alex Smith.
That was not even a push.
But he
That's
did,
not
though.
Even a shove. He has his hand on his back.
Well, and he does push him. He does. And he used it.
That's a slap on the back.
And he used it conveniently.
That's a push.
But he used it conveniently to make a dirty play.
He definitely used it conveniently
to make a dirty play.
He was already heading that direction full speed.
But he didn't go down.
He chose to dive into his legs.
He did. Right. He conveniently was like, oh, you know what? Oh, look, I got pushed down. Oh, man.
It was Chick-fil-A's fault.
It wasn't Chick-fil-A's fault, but Chick-fil-A was involved. And a Chick-fil-A. So.
Brandon Chicken, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
They strike again.
Right. So the Chiefs with their first loss, and the Dolphins do their popping of the champagne nonsense that they do every year. They don't have to worry about that.
Oh, really? Are they worried about that? They should be proud of their Dolphins getting a win on the road. I called that one with Mr. Boomer, not in here, but I thought that with that run defense,
wow,
that the Dolphins could win that ball game.
I'm surprised. Good for you on
how
that.
How about
one.
That? They were down 17-0 in that one.
Oh, God. I don't know how the Falcons have lost to the Bills and the Dolphins at all. I mean, they lost to the Bills because Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu go out of that game and their offense wasn't safe. This one was way worse. Now, they still didn't have Sanu yesterday. This was just disgusting.
Yep.
And the way that the Dolphins have been playing, just absolutely disgusting.
They should be embarrassed.
I don't know if I want to start this discussion now. I won't, because we're going to have differing opinions, sort of differing
Uh-oh.
Opinions on this.
On what?
The whole Safarian Jenkins thing.
Let's start it now.
No, there's only 2 minutes to go. I don't want to get into a good discussion in 2 minutes and then it's over. That would not be smart radio. So we'll talk about something else.
Excuse me.
This is what I'll... This is,
I don't want to do dumb radio at 7:52. Okay.
Too late. So,
so... I would take my dumb ass home then.
You only have an hour. Come on, you can hang in. Randy Cross at the top of the hour.
The bell tolls again.
Randy Cross at the top of the hour. But how about... I have to say, I watched a ton of Texans-Browns because of fantasy football.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of plays in that game. Kevin Hogan played the worst game at quarterback I have seen since Spurgeon Wynn played for the Minnesota Vikings.
I'm a big fan of Kevin Hogan coming out of Stanford.
Oh, my God.
He's had ample opportunity to win that job.
I mean, I'm talking puke-worthy, disgusting. The throws that he made, most of them were high. Takes the sack fumble in the end zone for a safety. Pick after pick after pick. And this is what I learned about DeShone Kizer. Nobody likes him because there's no way that this guy should not have been in the game at halftime. Hogan was that bad. He was playing with a blindfold on, and they didn't put him back in the game. And by the way, this is something we could revisit, too, on more time. The Browns are just – I mean, I know this is like easy picking, low-hanging fruit, whatever. It's got to stop. They are just a joke. They're not an NFL team. They're not even close to an NFL team. They're passing on guys like Deshaun Watson. They're passing on guys like Carson Wentz. They're throwing Kizer and Hogan out there. They flat out are disgusting. They shouldn't even be. They should, you know, we talked about with JLC, the relegation in the MLS. So that needs to happen. They need to relegate the Browns. Get them out. They've won one game in 2 years.
Are you going to send them to the college ranks?
Yes. It is pathetic to watch.
They'd be undefeated in the college ranks.
Pathetic. And Deshaun Watson, again, by the way, I mean, he's not like at any competition. He's, you know, he's back there.
Smacks him in the face. Why didn't you draft me? What did I have or not have that you wanted? I have everything that you need at quarterback. And you pass over me for Deshaun Kizer.
The guy was like making an omelet in the pocket. Getting a little air, a little asparagus. Oh, touchdown pass. Oh, no problem.
17 touchdowns he's contributed to.
Gosh.
17, 15 in the air, 2 on the ground.
Yeah, and apparently there's a report that Hugh Jackson said sent a text message to Deshaun Watson, be ready. And then they ended up paying it, of course.
Yeah, don't believe that.
Gio and Jones and Randy Cross next on CBS Sports Radio.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs. Sunshine and a beat. A place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.